Welcome, and thank you for listening to Optics in Action, where we showcase leaders with vision and clarity. My name is Ryan Weiss, founder and CEO of EPS. Our team is focused on enabling companies to align people and process for increased revenue, profitability, and scalable growth, while reducing the frustrations of your employees and customers. If you or someone you know is interested in applying to be a guest on this podcast, you can find more information at podcast.epsoptics.com. Let's get to our next guest. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Optics in Action, where we spotlight leaders with vision and clarity. And I am so excited to have today Patty Rio. She is the founder and CEO of Odea. And we've been having conversations. We've known each other for quite some time. We have common clients and things like that. But I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today, Patty, to talk about marketing and AI and all kinds of great stuff. So welcome.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah. So the first thing I always love to ask guests on the podcast is, why do you do what you do? So before we get into the details of what you do, like, why do you do it? Why are you passionate about this?
I don't think I can do anything else. Like, my skills are limited, I guess, is what I'd say.
I don't believe that entirely, but okay, we'll start there.
All right. How I got here is honestly just a love of words. So at core, I'm a words person. I went to journalism school. I went to J school. I went into college thinking I wanted, as many 18-year-old young ladies do, I was going to be the editor of Vogue, all the things. And I took my first journalism class. And it was inverted pyramids and right this way. And I had to do Polish obituaries that if you misspelled a proper noun, it was an immediate F. And then I walked into my advertising and PR class and they put capital N, little O, period, and advertising, that can be a sentence. And I was like, hallelujah, I'm home. So I migrated onto the content side before it was called that, but onto the word side of marketing, graduated, and there weren't a lot of creative jobs. So found myself on the account side working for an agency that took care of Owens Corning, right? Fiberglass roof and R values of insulation and things that could not be farther away from being the editor of Vogue. And that's how it all started for me. Awesome. And I've never left B2B since. I've quickly grown into more of on the strategy side, being an entrepreneur, running my own business, being that marketing strategist and business strategist and go-to-market strategist with companies. So I still write now and then. I say when I retire, I'll demote myself to junior copywriter again. Right now, I'm hanging on the biz side and helping organizations connect the dots. I think that's the skill set that being a curious journalist led me to.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the creativity and the curiosity, I think, that I've observed in the work that your team has done with some of our mutual clients and things. I look at it and I'm like, you always have this sort of sense of intrigue, and I'm sure that it gets customized per client. You and I have talked about you work in industrial, you work in business-to-business services. Like, when you think about those different types of organizations, what's common? What have you observed that's common across those types of B2B businesses and the type of work that you do?
Yeah. So I'll start with your curiosity comment. And I love that comes through because our mission, our vision, our values, our what I hire by is really simple. And that is be curious, be inspired, and be bold. If you're not curious, you should not work at Odea. I truly hire to it. I want my team to be curious. If that doesn't inspire you on the geekiest things, then you shouldn't work at Odea. And then we try really hard to be bold in the execution because there's a whole bunch of noise out there. Yeah. But the reality is, irregardless if you're my steel client, if you're our adhesive glue client, if you are a professional service client, like one of our accounting or our appraisal, end of the day, we all sell a commodity.
Yeah.
We as marketers use the same email technologies anyone else does. We've got access to the same social media everyone else does. We've got access to the same websites. My lovely accounting friends use the same W-9s and 1099s and W-2s and accounting stuff. Like, we all use the same things.
Yeah.
What makes us different, what makes us unique, is how we synthesize it, is how we interact. It's how curious we are. how bold we are in pushing that. And that comes from hearts and guts and instincts. And that's what makes us unique as organizations. But at the end of the day, our businesses are, none of them are very unique. And when you just look at them,
when you look at it through that lens,
kind of the same too.
No, exactly. So I love that. You said three things there: be curious, be inspired, and be bold. And I think that's a really great, like those three images in my mind of curiosity, inspiration, and being bold, really every company, right? Just if we want to set ourselves apart in a world that's full of commodities, being curious, how do I explore? How do I learn? Being inspired and being bold are really great traits to have. I love those three themes that you shared.
Good. Because that's OD in a nutshell. That's who we are.
Yeah, I love it. So tell me a little bit about, so what do you do? What is it that you do as an organization that differentiates you, or what is it that you help companies to do?
Yeah, so ODEA is a team of business and marketing strategists, creative and technologists. We work a lot within the marketing and marketing communication realm. I also do a lot as a business strategist, a go-to-market strategist. So a lot of the pre-work prior to getting, really needing ODEA's services. I'm an accidental entrepreneur. I didn't intend to start an agency. Right. I think I counted the other day, and I think in the 12 years that I worked at organizations before going off on my own, I think I worked at 6 places. And it wasn't because I was a bad employee. I just loved doing it the first time. I was okay optimizing it the second time, and I really didn't want to do it the third time. By year 3, I was usually looking for my next, which made me a really good entrepreneur, because as an entrepreneur, we have to not just be looking at today or tomorrow or next month, but we've got to be looking at 3 months from now and 6 months from now.
You've got to be a creator. You've got to be creating stuff and pushing for the future, right? That's very clear and important. So as you think about, I often like to talk about people and process. If you think about the challenges that you face in the world of marketing today, in terms of people and process, what are some of the people challenges that you see that you're navigating or helping to navigate with clients or internally? What are some of the people challenges today or over the next 5 to 10 years even?
Yeah. So for my people, it's a couple of different things. That's right. It's making sure that I do attract the folks who are curious, inspired, and willing to be bold. It means I'm not always a great place for folks who've worked in a marketing agency before, because I don't run ODEA the way other agencies are run. I often say I believe in professional meddling. Like, I believe anybody can come up with a great headline, and anybody can nudge design work, and anybody can have input on a strategy within my team. I hire often folks who haven't worked in marketing before. I've got 2 rock star members who both have backgrounds in psychology, actually, which is huge as a marketer and actually a great jumping off point. So I think the people challenges are just making sure that you attract the folks who, again, work like you, right? Yeah. Who can live that. We help clients a lot with that. It's really interesting for a number of them, especially coming out of the COVID days. It wasn't help us find more work. It was help us find the people to take care of all the work that we have.
That's a great point. Sometimes we think about marketing as being an external bringing in business, but there's also this external marketing of, hey, this is a great place to work, right? How do you help employers to promote those types of things as well?
Yeah, we've done a lot of recruitment lately with LinkedIn work. We've got one of our steel clients who's opened up a second mill. So they did a large recruitment push actually with the Memphis Grizzlies down in Memphis. And so really unique ways of trying to go out there, especially if you're not a quote unquote sexy industry, like many of our B2Bs aren't. How do you go out there and tell folks this is still a really cool place to work? Yeah. So that's been a marketing challenge. So I would say for people, it's all about, nothing's different, right? It's all about finding and retaining and getting those folks who work like you. From a process standpoint, you should probably have a member of my team on here talk about the lack of processes at ODEA. I am not a process-driven person. Again, I believe in professional meddling. I believe in rising tides raise all work. We're messy at ODEA, right? No web projects ever the same. no recruitment campaign. It can be the exact same type, but there's always those intricacies for the client that make it not like the last one. We do have some things that we live by. So like one of our golden rules is second eyes. Nothing goes to client that doesn't have second eyes on it. Mm-hmm. So we do cross our T's and dot our I's, mm-hmm. but from a process driven standpoint, it's not us. There's a lot of marketing groups that do, right? There's a lot of marketing that here's your checklist and here's your website and answer these 5 questions and here's these 20 questions and here's what you get and here's amount of time and hours. And if you go buy that, you get a scope change and all those things. And that makes me crazy. It's not how we run. We believe in let's do really good work and let's take care of each other. And then clients take care of us in return. Referrals, more work, you know how it works.
Yeah. So I love that. And there is this place in the world for process and structure. And there's a place in the world for creativity and ingenuity and let's go out and break things and make great things, right? So I think the thing that I observe is that there are process-driven people and organizations, there are innovation-driven. And as we think about the world and the intersection of these things, I think it really brings some really great opportunities. And one of those opportunities, I think, right now is the world of generative AI, right? That's going to change the way people work, and it's going to change the process and probably the structure of how people work. So what's that looking like in your world these days?
So I told my team up until probably, I don't know when this happened, but let's say up until 2024, I told my team, which is a number of folks in their 50s like me, and then a number of folks in their 20s and 30s. And I was telling them, like, you 20s and 30s, the world's going to change for agencies, professional services, everything, but your world's going to change. I'm going to eke it out. I'll be okay. I don't have to change. I'll be all right. But all y'all, best of luck. We were working with a client, startup client. We presented some brand work for them. They decided to open it up to their startup team of about 30 individuals, industrial company, right? Not folks who are sitting at computers every day, but we opened it up. They opened it up to them and they were like, not really it. They weren't feeling it. The president and CEO said, go gather your input as a team and bring it back. If you're not feeling it, bring me back some input. They brought back input, which included column logos, column icons, column what you will, created by ChatGPT. It was our first AI client input. And I had an oh shit moment, Ryan, excuse me. But it was like, so then I went back to team and said, all right, so I can't eke this out. This is going to start changing things fast.
Yeah.
And it already has, right? Thank you, Photoshop, for the AI enabled tools that make isolating. Thank you for all of these tools that are bringing in for us to do better within them. But for anyone whose fingers are on a computer, I believe that we're all in for some pretty drastic changes, much faster than what we anticipated. I hope there's a quote, many of your listeners probably know Seth Godin. He's the godfather of modern marketing, right? And Seth Godin's quote is that AI will change marketing and business more so than the internet. It will change it like electricity did, as I paraphrase. And I don't disagree with him. I also love that it's 63. Seth Godin's rolling up his sleeves and being like, let's go.
Let's go. Let's
so happen. All my Absolutely. Clients are like, I'm too old. I can't do another change. Like he's my perfect example. Like it's 63. Seth Godin's embracing it. We've got a team together. We're exploring where AI goes for the business of running businesses, small and medium-sized businesses. The large already have their chief AI officers. And that's not just typically a place where I enjoy playing anyways. But for small and medium-sized businesses, right now, if you go to wherever your favorite content is, there's a ton of stuff out there about let it write your emails and let it schedule your calendar and let it do your marketing content. And that's fine. But I believe that there's so much more power there. We're really interested in how AI can be combined with your organization's tribal knowledge, like that stuff that makes how Ryan approaches business different than anyone else. I think that's where AI gets very powerful. And what if we could somehow grab that from your brain, put it in a vault, protect it, and then provide that to the rest of your team so that they can be equally informed as to why your approach is different than someone else's. Now suddenly I feel like we're onto something. Yeah, so
that's something we've been exploring in a different way. So we look at the workflows that have to happen in an organization and seeing the handoffs that get dropped between departments and the interactions. And there's so much opportunity there. I think we're just starting to scratch the surface. You can start envisioning some of these things with ChatGPT and understand, like, wow, look at what it can do. It's like this fancy thing. But when you start looking at that tribal knowledge that you just talked about, when you look at the handoffs that need to happen between departments, we recently had a client that's like, we need to solve this billing process that we have. And when we started looking at it, the billing is a simple process. If you know how many parts you produced and shipped to the customer and where you ship them and the price, all of that stuff should have happened way up in the front at the order entry process. Right. Billing shouldn't be a problem. Right. But all the steps that lead up to the billing process, there were so many errors going on. And you look at the opportunity of AI and the data analytics and stuff that's happening there that's broken in all these handoffs. The woman that I shadowed for a day who was doing their billing, the first 30 minutes, she did most of the invoices for the day. She just entered them. But then there were like six of them that she spent the rest of the day going around trying to find the right information, right? It wasn't that billing was a problem. It was these exceptions and these broken handoffs and missed data and stuff like that, that I see this vision of how these things are going to start to come together in the future. It's going to really transform the way people work, especially with computers.
Yeah. The other quote that stuck with me, and this is lots of places, so I can't attribute this one to any one source, but lots of folks are saying this and I do believe it. And it's AI won't replace humans, but humans who know how to use AI will replace humans who don't. And so it's that level of efficiency of imagine exactly what you said, right? Yeah, you sold me a bunch of widgets, right? And I still don't have my widgets. So I send you an email, Ryan, where are my widgets? Instead of to your point, and you're like, I don't know, it's not showing up. Instead of Ryan, whomever you shadowed, taking an hour to go to department to find it. And that's where we let AI go troll through all that data and be like, you know what? It got as far as here. And now it's stuck because of whatever reason that was never conveyed.
Yeah.
So that operational power is great. And then again, I'm a content human. And I'm a curious human. So our take is more on that tribal knowledge side of now combine that with everything that makes you unique and special. And then how do those interplays make you be able to grab those efficiencies? To me, AI is just an efficiency tool. I don't yet see it. And I always say yet because I won't pretend like I know what happens. But as of yet, there's a lot of things it's not, right? Yeah. It's those logos and icons that groups send us were great input. Were they lovely design? No. Does AI doesn't have a taste level. It doesn't have a discerning eye. It doesn't have the 20, 30 years experience that my graphic designers have. It doesn't have intuition. It doesn't have any of some of those human factors yet.
And again, I love that you're adding in that yet, because it was not that many years ago. So we were talking about quotes and stuff. I don't remember the exact date, but it was in the last handful of years or so that I heard somebody talking about, and it might've been the title of a book even. It said, the future belongs to those who know how to code. The rest will be left behind. That was in the last 5 to 10 years at most. And within the past few weeks, the CEO of NVIDIA came out and said, don't teach your children to code. That's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Like, think about that evolution in 5 years, maybe.
I know. Think about all of the heavy industry workers, right? I'll use a stereotypical one, right? Think about all of the folks who worked in coal as we are going to more of a sustainability, right? Energy sustainability. Anyone who was working in a coal mine earning that was told, go be retrained. Your job's on the line. Go be retrained. Go learn how to code. all of the cab drivers who Uber came in and disrupted transportation, all of those drivers were told, go code, you'll never be out of a job.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, it's a weird world.
And I think, so I think as we look at how do we adapt to the new culture of work, the new way of working, the new technologies, I think it's going to be a really interesting time as we think about marketing and operations and finance and just the disruption that's happening in all of these. So this has been awesome having this conversation, Patty. I really appreciate you. And I'm sure our audience has learned some great things by listening to this. How do people contact you or learn more about Odia and about these ideas that you're putting out there? What's the best way for them to learn more or get in contact?
I'm on LinkedIn. You can certainly find me on LinkedIn. You can find us at our website, teamodea.com. So TEAMODEA.com. Or you can find me at patty@teamodea.com. Or you can find me through Ryan, either way.
Fantastic. Thank you again, Patty Real, for being on this episode of Optics in Action. We got some great insights. And I love the vision that you're sharing about where the future might be going. So thank you again for being a guest today.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate talking with you.
Thank you for listening to the Optics in Action podcast. If you are interested in the podcast, we welcome you to subscribe on your preferred platform, follow us on LinkedIn, or learn more at epsoptics.com. If you or someone you know is interested in applying to be a guest on this podcast, you can find more information at podcast.epsoptics.com. This is Ryan Weiss, thanking you for listening to Optics in Action.